J.M.W. Turner is one of the most important figures in Western art, and his visionary work paved the way for a revolution in landscape painting. Over the course of his lifetime, Turner strove to liberate painting from an antiquated system of patronage. Bringing a new level of expression and color to his canvases, he paved the way for the modern artists. Franny Moyle, an art historian, has written about Turner in her new book, Turner, The Extraordinary Life and Momentous Times of J.M.W. Turner. The book is published by the Penguin Press, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Franny Moyle to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
No, it's my pleasure entirely.
What brought you to want to look at this incredible figure in the world of art?
Oh, gosh, that is always the most difficult question to answer. But I think apart from the fact that he is just so utterly marvelous, a painter, I think it was really a desire to tell people more and reveal more. I think most people in the UK, and I imagine probably in the States as well, are in love with Turner's late works, those vast, loose, highly coloured canvases where, what Turner used to call his indistinct canvases that have this wonderful, misty, sort of indistinct aura. And I think the temptation for an audience who, haven't read art history at university or, aren't regular gallery goers, and why should people be, is to think that's the sort of full summation of his work. And in fact, that's just the very end. It's just the very end. And I think we love it because we love the Impressionists. And, for a post-Impressionist audience, late Turner is great, and it's great work. But I wanted to tell a story of an artist whose career and whose work has a range so much greater than I think the majority of the public will recognize. And also it reaches back to a time when the art world was so different from our own, in an era so different from our own, that for all those reasons it felt like a sort of great subject.
Looking at his childhood, you note in the book that his talent was obvious very early. He began painting at 13. By the time he was 15, he was accepted into the prestigious Royal Academy. What was it about his early days and his work that showed such promise?
Already, as a very young boy, he was already very, very good. Topographical artist. I mean, topographical art in the late 18th century was extremely popular, and that was depictions of places of interest with some sort of historic as well as geographic significance. So, a landscape with a monument, buildings, and so on and so forth, something that told the story of the geography and history of Britain back to its people. And there was a huge appetite for this type of art. And there were a number of watercolorists who were very popular. And very early on, Turner was, by copying and by working, was coming up with a sort of juvenile version of work that, was really sort of nipping at the heels, if you like, in terms of its technical ability and its observation, was nipping at the heels of some of the already very established, more senior artists. So it was a sort of apparent that this was a young man whose topographical work was sort of second to none. I mean, to get into the Royal Academy, however, the Royal Academy didn't specialize in landscape painting at all. Its schools was a figurative school where you drew from the antique and you drew from life. So he had to learn to make pretty good figurative drawings. And he had a sort of sponsor in that regard. There were a number of members of the artistic community who spotted that this guy was good and helped him get in. But I think apart from an obvious talent on the page, there was also a sort of tenacious quality to this youngster, working everywhere, learning where he can, desperately trying to get a quick lesson, insinuate himself left, right, and center. He was someone who was around, and I think, you know, you can sort of smell that kind of talent in a young person, and they certainly could.
You note in the book, it was somewhat rare in the sense that he was commercially successful for most of his career.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this is the thing that is quite often not so well known about Turner. I mean, he was working at a time when the life of the artist was particularly hard. I mean, I challenge any of your listeners to pick up facsimile of a sort of diary of the time from any of those artists, and they're always out of work. They've got friends on the King's Bench. That was the debtor's prison. It was a really hard life, and it was a hard life because you were entirely dependent on the whim of the aristocracy and, you know, patrons. Rich families, either aristocrats or wealthy businessmen, were your patrons. There were no real commercial galleries in the way there is now. It was very hard to sell your work unless you were being commissioned. And Turner, from the off, understood this. And so not only was he brilliant as a young man at making contacts, making himself, you know, being everywhere, being seen everywhere, making sure he got the right introduction, he also very quickly understood that to support himself, he had to also be in with publishers who, bread and butter money, they were commissioning engravings for publications. And he very, very quickly got himself on the list of, you know, the list of a very small list of recognized engravers. And he also was very entrepreneurial. As soon as he got successful, he started to explore ways in which, if you like, he could maximize his own intellectual property. So he set up his own gallery in what was a very entrepreneurial move in an era before the commercial gallery. He set up Turner's Gallery. He began publishing his own works. He had what he called the Liber Studiorum, which was, if you like, a series of engravings that people could buy of his work. He would display his own paintings and engrave them and sell them. He had Turner's annuals. So always alongside the commissioned work, the big paintings, there was this great sort of toil in his workshop, if you like, to just keep money coming in, and also to keep his profile high amongst the public. I mean, he was really something.
Meanwhile, while there was the commercial success, his personal life remained quite fraught.
Well, yes, he was a difficult man who had a difficult background. You know, this is a man whose mother was sent to a lunatic asylum and who died in a lunatic asylum, who was sent away from home probably because his mother was mentally unstable, a mixture of that and, of course, his own infirmity. I think he was perhaps asthmatic. He certainly throughout his life was plagued with some respiratory problems. So a young boy often sent away from home, very small in stature, not a handsome man. You know, he was called bird-like, beaky. You know, people used to, if they chose to mock Turner, it was because his stature was very small, little Turner. So a man who though he never lacked confidence in his own artistic ability, lacked a huge amount of confidence, I think, with women. As an artist, he was confident. As a sort of human being in a domestic scenario, I think there's all sorts of evidence that he found negotiating relationships with women very tricky, and also negotiating a domestic life with a complete commitment to his work, which always would come first and foremost. You know, he was married to his art, and as a result, he never married. He had a number of mistresses. All of, you know, relationships which sort of fell apart until, of course, his very last relationship with the rather wonderful Mrs. Booth, from Margate who tended him until the end. But domestic life was unhappy. This was a man who couldn't really find time for his illegitimate children, who really didn't know how to run a family or wasn't inclined to, I think because the model of his own family had been so dysfunctional, if you see what I mean.
Indeed. Again, we talk about his great success, but talk about the very last works that were difficult for even those who were his greatest defenders to defend.
Absolutely. And these tend to be the works that we love, you know, more than anything. But in the last 2 decades of Turner's life, his reputation went into decline. And it was at a point, he died in 1851. So if we say from the mid-1830s, the criticism just got more and more and more as his painting became more and more experimental. You know, by the 1830s, Turner was an enormously wealthy man. He didn't need patronage. And although he liked it, because we all like to be loved, we all like our work to, you know, win prizes, sell, go out the door, he didn't need it anymore. And he was much more interested in pursuing his own vision for art. This indistinct view, this highly personal way of looking at the world and light and so on and so forth, which employed techniques which to a Victorian audience were completely alien. And although painters saw him as their great brave hero, prepared to go places no one else had gone, the public and the critics were often just bewildered and confounded. And he suffered a huge amount of criticism in the press. People thought he was mad. They said he was mad. They said he was a man who'd lost his mind. They accused him of having cabbages instead of hands because, you know, his painting was so ridiculous. Did he paint with a mop? It looked as if someone had thrown custard on his work. And so he really declined in popularity, with the exception of a handful of faithful collectors. You know, he began buying back his own work and he began collecting it, and he then gave it to the nation. And in a way, you know, Turner's own faith in his work was rewarded, because when he, you know, within, I suppose, 30 or 40 years of his death, of course, his late work, not just everyone always loved his early work, but his late work, people began to look at that again, as I say, post-impressionist era, and began to see it anew. So the later generation, saved his reputation, I suppose.
Well, the name of the book is Turner, The Extraordinary Life of Momentous Times of J.M.W. Turner. The book is published by Penguin Press. Franny Moyle, a delight to have you on the program this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Oh, gosh, you're welcome.
Thank you very much. Again, the title of the book, Turner, The Extraordinary Life and Momentous Times of J.M.W. Turner. The book is published by Penguin Press. Franny Moyle is the author. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.